Hey, Spencer, how are you?
Hey, Jim, good, thanks. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks so much for taking time out to do this, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
So you know that I worked in Orlando when – I feel so old now. I worked at Mix 105.1 when you were like 7.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with Scott and Eric. I was there for about 4 or 5 years, lived out in Lake Mary.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, man. So you going to drink any of the water from Lake Eola when you win?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
My friends are always like, boy, it's so cool in Orlando. I'm like, until you go to the alligator lake, and then it freaks the hell out of you, man. So how are you feeling? I mean, going into this year, this has got to be like, I mean, you've been wanting this. I can't imagine, you know, as great as Ed, obviously racing Fred Carpenter, but this, your second full year, you get to do all the racing now. I mean, is this your year? Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I sure hope so. You know, we've, I think, been making steady improvements throughout the second half of last season. And hopefully over the winter, you know, we've come up with some new ideas of, what to do with the car and try to get it handling the best we can on every different type of track. So I think that it's definitely an exciting time for us. I know we're all very confident at Ed Carpenter Racing that we're going to have a really good year. And, you know, that's what we want. We want to be consistently up at the front, challenging for podiums and wins and, you know, throughout the season on no matter what track we are or what time of the year, we want to be, you know, up amongst the guys at the front of the pack.
I'm hard pressed to find any series in racing right now where there are no back markers. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like you can, it's not a knock on like NASCAR or F1, but if you watch an F1 race, realistically, there are 6 cars racing for the win. If you watch NASCAR, there's generally 3 or 4 major teams, but in IndyCar, any given week, anybody can move up to the front and take over.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the coolest things about IndyCar. You know, it's so competitive. It's so tight. You know, one weekend you could be finishing in the top 3 or 4, and the next weekend you could be 16th, 17th. So it's, you know, it's so close. Any little thing can be the difference between 6th and 13th or whatever it is. So it's, you know, puts the pressure on us as drivers and as teams to really maximize everything we have and try to get the best out of ourselves because, you know, every little thing can make such a big difference. So we're trying to go through everything with a fine comb and, you know, really get all our ducks in a row to make sure that we can, you know, be performing at our best throughout the year.
So you mentioned like towards the end of last year with Iowa, you know, the success at Iowa and at Portland as well, right? You were 4th in Portland. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's correct.
So at what point during the year with the new body, did you guys really feel comfortable with the platform as a whole? Or did you ever get to that point last season?
Yeah, I think we made steady improvements. You know, I think we're getting better and better as the season went on. And, you know, we've had a whole off season to kind of go over every event, go over what we did and didn't do and what we liked and kind of come up with some new ideas that hopefully will allow us to maximize the body work and the car even more. So, you know, obviously it's all kind of ideas and stuff until you really get it on track at a race weekend. You know, we've had some really productive tests, I think, over the past few months, but, you know, racing is always a little bit different and going to St. Pete is a track. Obviously we can't test or practice on before the weekend. So we're going to be, you know, trying to learn as quickly as possible and hopefully our ideas and the things we've done in testing can correlate and transfer over to the first race.
How was COTA? Did you get time down there?
Yeah. We had a couple days there and it's a really cool track. You know, I raced there once before in 2013 and haven't been back since. So it was really nice to be there again. And it's, you know, full of fast corners. It's got some technical sections. It's got elevation change. It's got kind of everything that you want from a racetrack. And, you know, I think that it's only fitting that IndyCar is going there. It's definitely one of the best tracks we have in the States. And I think it's going to make for a great race. It's definitely a challenging place. And, you know, 25 Indy cars going around there will definitely, I think, be a good show.
It's always an interesting track to me because we get so caught up in the hill for, you know, in the first two segments and then, you know, the long stretch. But really, to me, it seems like you're going to win or lose that race in the last two sections of it because you can bleed off so much speed.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, the second half of the lap is, you know, the majority of probably where you're going to gain or lose your time. You know, there's so many corners kind of packed into the last bit there. I think, you know, there's 7 or 8 corners. So that's part of the track where you really have to make sure that your car is working well. You don't want to make any mistakes because it is an area where you can, gain a few tenths, or you can lose 5 or 6 tenths. So it's a place where you have to be patient. You know, a lot of corners, easy to make a mistake, but I think that's what will be rewarding if you're the guy that's able to get it done.
Did you get bumped last year here, and when you spun on turn five at Belle Isle, or was that just the car just got away from you?
Yeah, I kind of had some contact from behind going into turn four, and then again into turn five, and unfortunately damaged part of the suspension back there. And as soon as you have an issue like that, your day's done. Even if you're able to get it fixed and go back out, you're so many laps down that it's not even, no chance to make it up, unfortunately.
It's always the obviously here in Detroit, we love the Detroit Grand Prix, but I always talk to drivers about this. I don't think people understand the first two turns when you are in there, the load that's put on your body. You guys go flying through there. You're probably doing, 120, 130. The lateral G's that you're putting on your body in doing this over two straight days is startling to me.
It's probably one of the toughest weekends we have, back-to-back races coming right off a really busy month of May in Indianapolis. Detroit, it beats you up. It's really bumpy. And I think you're right. The first two corners there, I would say are probably the fastest corners on any street course we go to, So it's a really challenging place. It's, every lap is difficult. You can never kind of take a breather or relax, because there's always something going on, something you have to focus on. So it's one of those weekends we look forward to, because I think that Detroit's a fun place and I enjoy the track, but at the same time it's a tough one. And if you're struggling there, you have to do two races. So the guys that, if your car is good and you're fast, then that's all good. But if you're not having your best weekend, then it's not always the thing that you want to see is another race the next day.
I think Will told me at one point, he actually, during one of the practices, he broke one of his belts going through one and two.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. It's the loads in one and two are really high. And especially as the races go on, so much rubber gets laid down that the steering gets heavier and heavier, and you're obviously getting more worn out. So one and two every lap is really, you got to kind of suck it up and get through there, because it's not easy.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Okay, this is not one of your favorite moments, but to me, it's one of the most race car moments. I was showing my producer this morning. We're talking with Spencer Piggott here, and at the road course, when you caught some air last year.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing that we noticed right away that made you look to me like the difference between a normal guy and a race car driver. You were still trying to save the car while you were airborne.
Yeah, it's... it made for a great picture. I've got a screenshot of myself, whatever it was, a foot or two off the ground. And it happened so quick that you just try to hopefully land and keep going straight. Obviously that didn't happen, but I don't, it's not a whole lot to say. I know people enjoyed it. It's kind of funny to look back on now, but it definitely hurt a little bit coming back down to the ground.
Well, I can imagine, Spencer. But I think to me, though, I was saying that more as a compliment to me, is it's always interesting to watch drivers, because there's never a moment during a race, no matter what situation you're in, that you guys don't think you can't save the car. And even at that moment, when a normal person, I would have crossed my arms and just went, all right, I know enough to take my hands off the wheel and see where it's going to go. And you're like, no, screw this. I can land this. I can stick the landing.
Yeah, you got to, you can never give up until it's really is gone, because – we've all seen different clips of cars as sideways as possible, and somehow you're able to save it. So you gotta give it everything you have until it's either backwards or you've hit something, and you never give up.
Well, Mid Ohio, same thing. I mean, and I'm not bringing up all the times you've dumped a car, but I mean, Spencer, same thing. When I remember watching him, like, he's trying to save this car.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's one of those things. You keep going till it's unsavable.
So Did you even, when you took the lead at the Indy 500, was there a moment you were like, oh my God, I'm leading the Indy 500?
You know, I actually didn't really even know I led a bit until after the race. We were running, sixth or seventh in the pit stop cycle. I guess I stayed out a little bit longer than everyone else. But yeah, it was definitely cool. My parents snapped a picture of my name on top of the pylon. So, that was neat to lead a few laps at Indy. And it's obviously a very special event, one that we all dream about racing in and obviously winning. So, hopefully we had a pretty good race last year up until some issues. And, this year we're going back with more confidence and more experience to hopefully stay up at the front throughout the whole race. And who knows?
How mentally draining is that? Because you have the buildup of a month to this race. You get there, and we were there. I took my son. We were down there. And in the parade and circumstance takes hours to actually get to the race. And then you guys have to, everyone thinks Indy's an easy track, but to me, I'm like, you guys make it look easy, but you have to be perfect and hit your marks every single time.
It is. It's a, the race is one thing, but we're there for 2 weeks practicing and preparing and doing different events. Like you said, parade, this and that. It's, almost like you just want the race to be there. You don't want to really be bothered with all the other stuff, but it's something that you have to embrace because it's a really cool event, and it's one that does last for several weeks in Indianapolis. Everyone's excited, the whole town's got a great energy about it, and everyone's talking about the race, so you do have to embrace that. That's almost like the first part of the marathon, and then you have the 500 mile race which is what you're all focused on. So the race itself, yeah, it's long. It's usually really hot. You're going so quick that you have to be extremely precise, and one little mistake can obviously end your day. So it's as straightforward as it looks from people watching it on TV, it's definitely not that way in the car. Every lap, every corner is different. The wind, the temperature outside, the people you're racing against, it's all very unpredictable. So it's it's 500 miles, but it goes by pretty quick.
It's fun to watch, man. Spencer Pigott with us here, and with Ed Carpenter Racing. And Spencer, the one thing I don't know if you read Graham Rahal's comments about the people kind of, I don't think blowback, but people were complimenting him on he feels how the series is taking off, and I'm the same way. You guys are starting to pop, but there was something to me, and I think I hit you on Twitter about this. When I'm watching a race in IndyCar, I know with Firestone and the Firehawks, you've got what, two racing compounds, three racing compounds,
the reds and the blacks. Okay. And wet tires.
Right now. And I was joking with you because I was watching the first practice of the year for the F1 guys, and everyone's like, well, that's a C2 versus a C3, and he's got a C4. So there's 6 tenths there and 2 tenths here. And this is 3 tenths, and they're running different fuel loads. And I'm like, as a regular fan, I have no idea who the best cars are, because there's so many different things. But when I'm watching an IndyCar race, like you said, the cream rises to the top, and it doesn't become so much about the tire. It's more about the driver and the car and the people who build it.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing about IndyCar that makes it really fan-friendly is there's not a huge amount going on in the races that everyone has to be an avid fan to know what's going on. It's fairly straightforward on the road courses. You've got reds and blacks, and the reds are a bit quicker out of the box, but they could degrade quicker, and the blacks are a bit more durable. So other series have all the different colors and different shades, and some weekends they use these compounds and other weekends they use other compounds. And while it's cool and there's a lot of technology and stuff that goes into it, it's I think for the average fan, simpler sometimes is better. And obviously our racing is just as good as anything else.
So if I know we're talking, there's lots of rumblings about maybe going to Australia and some of the overseas racing with the IndyCar series. If you could drive one F1 track with IndyCar and race there, which one would it be?
Oh, I don't know. I think, obviously Monaco is a spectacular looking place, but, I think Spa would be really neat. I think we'd put on a hell of a show, and that's one of the best tracks in the world. I've unfortunately never driven there, but an IndyCar race there I think would be pretty special.
And how many times have you watched the movie Senna?
Several.
There's not a race car driver I've talked to who doesn't watch that movie on a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great film, and obviously he's one of the best, if not the best, that ever lived. So it's easy to get in the habit of watching that movie.
Do you draw inspiration from it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think watching him and what he was able to accomplish and the way he went about things is inspiring. And, you know, he's a hero to, I think, everyone that's involved in motorsport, whether you're a fan or a driver. I think he's someone that you look up to.
All right. Well, get your butt here to the Motor City. We will see you here for the Detroit Grand Prix. And man, I mean, you can feel it coming, can't you? 5 top 10 finishes last year, the runner up at Iowa. Spencer, I'd imagine you just want to break through in the first week in St. Pete.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Get my first win down in Florida, my home track. It'd be something pretty special. So, you know, we'll see. We'll be trying our best to make it happen.
Okay, watch the braking where that one painted area is. Are they ever going to fix that, or is that just part of the characteristic of the track?
I don't know. Good question. We typically don't find out all the details till we get there. So, <laughs> we'll see.
Spencer, all the best. You will see you here in the Motor City. Thanks for taking time out, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jim.
Thanks, man. Bye. Old people in cars.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.